Just go solo. Just decide you're going to do it and do it.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
It might be the most common way people solo travel, traveling for business. Our solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has done a significant amount of solo travel for business and knows how to make business travel feel like pleasure travel. I'm Catherine O'Brien, producer, and I am wondering if Astrid thinks business travel is a gateway to becoming an avid solo traveler.
Well, my answer is yes, yes, yes.
I thought so.
For starters, it's usually the first type of solo travel that most people experience. You know, when you're younger, you might go on a college trip where you go to Europe by yourself, but usually you're with a couple of people. But for the most part, solo travel a lot of times starts with business travel. And, you know, people who are in careers that demand a lot of travel, they end up being exposed to various cultures and microcultures. They meet people from all over the country or all over the world, whether it's clients or colleagues. And so they get exposed to just how different people think in different parts of the world. Their horizons are broadened. They learn, I guess you'd say, more about different cultures. They meet new friends. And they also begin to really learn how to cope with being alone. And these are all elements that you are exposed to when you travel solo. I really do feel like that business travel is one of the gateways, and it really does help women solo travelers become what I consider independent and confident to do this kind of travel. And from my own personal experience, I have traveled probably to every major city in the United States, and probably even two or three times to some of them. And it strictly was facilitated by being a trustee on a bonding finance authority where I live, and we had to go to different conferences, do closings, go to Moody's in New York, different things that dealt with what our particular organization did. And I would have to typically go by myself, or I would be part of the group, but I wasn't traveling with my husband or whatever. And the trip was usually focused on key activities with the business part of it, but I had time to do other things. So these trips really did, I think going and doing all of this planted some of the seeds and the reasons why I do now enjoy solo travel so much, because I had to do it, I did it, and I didn't want to be bored when I wasn't being around it. And at that time, when I first started, I was the only woman on the board, mm-hmm. and these kinds of things, and there weren't as many solo traveling women now as there was for sure 30 years ago, so I was a little different. You know, I didn't want to go play golf with all these men or do some of the things that they wanted to. So I went off to the museums, or I figured out the different things that I wanted to do or that interest me. And then I, you know, really started to experience these different little microcultures all over the United States. Loved it. Couldn't wait till the next trip. I didn't want to be around those men. So, yes, I think it is definitely a very good gateway.
What kind of pre-trip planning do you need, or maybe I should even say it, what kind of mindset do you need to have to mix business travel with enjoyable travel?
Okay, well, first of all, every business trip is different, and really it depends on the time that you have to spend on the business activities that you're doing. Every destination really is different. And even the hotel that you stay in is different. I mean, if you're going to a big conference, a lot of times they'll be at a resort hotel or a conference hotel. But then other business trips, you might stay in a smaller boutique hotel, or even, you know, more of a mass market business traveler kind of hotel. So, you know, those are different things that, you know, come into play. Weather can be a factor in what you can do during the business hours as well as your leisure time. So I think pre-trip research and planning is key to making any solo trip, whether it's business or pleasure, more enjoyable. I encourage you. Now, a lot of times you don't have the time to do this because we're all busy, and especially people who are still really very much in their careers, have a family, etc. But try to Google a little bit before you're going to the place where you're traveling. Get a little idea of what this city is known for, etc., what makes it unique. And I kind of say a kind of a know before you go about the ethos or the character of the place that you're going to experience. So there's going to be less of a culture shock, and you're more aware of just the uniqueness around you. And the trip will be better in all kinds of ways. And I cite an example, like if you think about Santa Fe versus New Orleans. I mean, those are two
very different.
But they both have great cultures. They're unique in their own way. They have so many things to do and experience when you go there. So if you have the opportunity to go there on a business trip, and I know a lot of conventions are in New Orleans, oh my gosh, you have so many wonderful things to enjoy. And that leads me, came in my head, go to my website, astrotravel.com. I've got lots of great blog articles on what to do when you're traveling solo in New Orleans. That's one of my focuses, is to enlighten people on how wonderful New Orleans is, and especially for the solo traveler. There are so many just cool things to do, and the culture is fabulous. You'll come back changed and ready to come back to New Orleans. I guarantee you, people who go to New Orleans, they always want to come back.
Well, and I love that you're really, I think you really are enlightening people about it, that it's solo friendly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, New Orleans is an American, big American city with lots of different cultural aspects to it. So you have to be careful with your safety. But I even go into safety tips for that. And there's certain things that you have to do. And just do it, basically. Yeah. So, okay. And then with this pre-trip research, you know, it'll stimulate basically, you know, the ideas of what you want to do or what you want to explore with your free time. So you don't just get there and then, you know, you had your business meeting and you think, well, what do I want to do now? I mean, if you have an idea of what the key things are to do and how that those kinds of things might interest you, you already know what you want to do. So as soon as you get out of the meeting, you can, you know, get Uber and go. Whether it's the sites, restaurants, museums, shopping, if you know before you go, you know, you'll have your, like, little list to do. And I kind of always do that. You know, I've done so much of this, I really do try to do that, because I have enjoyed so many business trips because I've done that before and I have taken the time to do these different things. So I encourage you to really do that. But with your pre-trip research, what I always say, besides you know what to do, et cetera, and not to do, or what you don't want to do, is it gets you into the right mindset. You asked me about the mindset. Yeah. A lot of people who travel business just go, oh, God, I got to get back on this plane again and go to St. Louis or go to, you know, Phoenix. I just don't want to do it. And travel, the traveling part of travel, the logistics, the planes, the getting you to your hotels, the just the traffic, everything, the going through security, that's the bad part of traveling, you know, and I can understand that. But if you get your mindset into, oh, well, once I get there, I'm going to eat at this restaurant that is like 2 Michelin star and blah, 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 you'll be able to kind of go with the flow and be in a better mindset, I think. It'll be anticipatory rather than so much like, oh, again.
And, dread.
Yeah, and you have to work at that because, you know, it's difficult to not really fall into that if you do a lot of business travel. Now, talking about developing the right mindset, for solo business travel leads me, and I'm so excited about getting ready to say what I'm going to say. It leads me to tell the listeners about a new travel genre that is developing and catching on. And this genre is called bleisure, which is combining business with leisure trips. And people are really doing this now consciously. They're not just thinking, like, what can I do when I have 2 or 3 hours? They are preparing, okay? Which is essentially, well, this is my little laugh of the show. Catherine, this is essentially what our podcast is all about.
Yeah, I know.
And you didn't even know.
I did not know that, yeah. Hashtag bleisure.
But it is really a growing trend. The statistics show that most people now who travel for business are really bleisure travels. Like at least 60% do leisure activities and seek to do leisure activities and plan on doing them when they're traveling for business. They're just not going to the hotels, having their meetings, doing their network, and then going to the bar, having a drink or two, and going to sleep. No, they are doing more than that. 30% of these people are adding actually extra days to their business trips so they can do more leisure activities, like they're staying over through the weekend, or if it's possible, they're having a day before travel day or a day after travel day. And a lot of businesses will allow you a travel day because flights are iffy, they get canceled, or all kinds of things can go wrong. So in a lot of times, I also, you know, that's all paid expenses. The millennials really like this travel genre because they swear it makes them work more efficiently. They're happier employees. And it helps them relieve some of the stress of business travel. So they're really into it. This is becoming more and more a conscious trend to the point that they have now a website that is solely focused on this new travel genre. And this website, for those who are interested, is called bleisureliving.com. bleisureliving.com. And their tagline is where work meets play. But it is an evolving website that goes into a lot of interesting things about places, packing tips, products, just general information and tips on how to make bleisure trips more memorable. So you see,
yeah,
this is real. This is becoming a new actual travel genre. Some specific pre-trip planning activities that I suggest doing before your business, pleasure, or even now bleisure trip are the following, basically. First of all, you got to determine how much time you have for the leisure activities, when your free hours are going to be, whether it's going to be in late afternoon, the evening, sometimes even really early morning. And what can you do? What is actually possible to do in those hours? So you kind of need to know, well, I'll have 2 nights free, or I'll have this morning free, so you can peg in once you see the different things that are out there when you want to do it. Okay, then, like I shared, can you add on a day or two before or after your business trip, or even the tack on the weekend when you're booking your flights? I do this a lot because when I travel, I'm usually allowed a travel day to and a travel day from. So it adds on kind of 2 days. And if I really want to do a lot, I will book the early flight. Like I'll have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get to the airport and get on the plane by, you know, 5:30 or 6. And I'll take the last red eye out on the other travel day. So I really give myself a lot of time. So, you know, if you want to do that and you can do that, it's a little more tiring, know that, but it does give you more time to do those leisure activities. Then once you've done a little bit of the research on Google or however you're doing it, make your to-do list. And I know that, you know, we all have priorities and what we have to do and not do. Just do this for the potential things that you would want to do when you're going to Santa Fe or New Orleans or whatever. Then, you know, take it one step a little further. Do a little, you know, rough itinerary. The first night, I'll have three nights. So, you know, I want to take the one-hour evening city tour. And after that, I'm going to go to this nice restaurant for, you know, a light meal or whatever. I mean, just kind of think of what you want to do. The second night, you might want to go to the theater or go to a symphony concert or something that is a cultural experience. It's entertainment at night. Get your concierge to arrange to get the tickets. If you can use Uber, use Uber if you're comfortable with that. Otherwise, you know, ask the concierge if you should take a taxi or if he'll get you transportation to and from. You know, decide whether maybe you want to make this like a mini little me time spa-like thing, that when you're not doing business, you're going to go to the spa. You're going to get a massage one day. You're going to get a facial the next day. Mani-pedi. I mean, you know, decide what you're going to do with your leisure time, whether it's focused on relaxation. Or say, a lot of people love to exercise, so they've got to get in their running, or they have to get in their yoga, or whatever. Figure out where you can do that. If you can't do it in the hotel, typically there are a lot of places now that you can join in. But you got to know where to go, or know before you go. Enrichment and enlightenment. If there's some really cool things, there are like key museums that you've always wanted to go to, theater, like when I go to New York, I always try to see a Broadway play or a musical. I really do, because every time I go, I just go, you know, they just do this so, I mean, it's just so great. I always love taking the time to do it. You know, there are beautiful parks and gardens now that are becoming more and more places where people go to not only see beautiful flora and fauna and all of that, but there are great cafes there, and they're just nice places to walk and to be. So know if there's anything like that. I know I've done desert garden walks, and I've gone to botanical gardens and lots of different things. And before I go, I always think, is this going to be worth it? Am I going to really like it? Oh, every time I go, I'm so glad I took the time to do that. I really am. Then shopping. I mean, some people love to shop, and I have to confess. I am a shopaholic, and it is pathetic that even when I say I am not going to go shopping, the minute I walk around, I have such an eye that I can find something that is so, so eye-catching. And usually it just, it's kind of like, well, it's not that expensive, or it's just right, or somebody kind of makes me a deal or what, and I end up with it. I mean, it's really pitiful. I mean, you can ask my husband. I'm surprised he hasn't divorced me, because I have so much stuff. He has nowhere to be. But I just love it. And I'm not one that just, you know, buys like 10 shirts at one time. I have all this different stuff all over. But the shopping all over the United States and really the world can be fabulous, whether you like upmarket designer or outlet shopping. I know every time I used to go to Miami or Fort Lauderdale, I'd rent a car and go to the Sawgrass Mills and hit that outlet mall where all of those upmarket Valentino, Chanel. I mean, I have bought some really nice things there, but it's just so tempting. Yeah. I mean, you cannot get a Valentino purse for like $200. It's usually $2,000 minimum. I mean, you know, and then you just go, oh, you only live once. And then you have places that have jewelry districts or fashion districts where you really can get gorgeous things that are hot off the market or really at good prices. So, you know, shopping is another leisure activity a lot of people like to do. And then really the big one is dining. You know, most business travelers, solo business travelers, they do want to go where the good restaurants are. And a lot of times, you know, their expense tab, they have a certain amount that they can really spend. So they'll go there. And if they go over the amount, they just pay it themselves. But they go, you know, if you want to go to a Michelin restaurant or somewhere that's really like, you know, you could probably make it happen. Just make sure you keep your
per diem.
Your receipts straight. Yeah. Okay. So really, develop a little bit of a rough itinerary before you go and how much time you think you can spend there. But you got to be flexible because, let me tell you, when you business travel, business is the focus of the travel. You usually have a lot of networking opportunities, and you need to do that. So sometimes you have the ability to steer the group to go somewhere. If you know a little bit before, you can get them to go to this cool restaurant versus, you know, Charlie's Pizza or wherever they think there's going to be a lot of action going on. But also, in your pre-trip planning, check the weather a couple of days before, because let me tell you something, there's nothing worse than when you go as a business traveler and you don't have the right clothes in terms of the climate. It's just awful because you either have to run in and get something somewhere that you spent money you didn't want to spend, that you didn't need to spend if you would have just checked the weather. Like a coat when you go somewhere. Yeah. I have probably 5 more coats than I need because it got cold. But check the weather out for a week. And before you pack, know exactly what you think you'll need in terms of season, rain, temperature, etc. Think less is more. Maximum carry-on and a tote. No more than that. No checking baggage unless you're going to really stay a long time afterwards, because you don't want to do that on a business trip. You want to think lean and mean. Your pleasure or bleasure wardrobe. I mean, classic is a good pantsuit with a nice white shirt, maybe one dress, a pair of jeans, and a couple like leisure tees or whatever, where you can use that jacket with the pantsuit over the jeans and the t-shirts, the leisure shirt, the dress. You know, you can pair that with the blazer if you're really good at it. Say you have a tweed blazer or whatever. Heels and walkers. Those are the two shoes you need. Maybe a pair of flip-flops. That's another thing. I always seem to gravitate to flip-flops. You know, I'll have the heels and walkers, but for some reason, something happens, I get a blister, or I didn't bring my Band-Aids or something, and I see, oh, I'll just get some flip-flops. Man, they have taken me through a lot of the last days of a, you know,
big trip.
Yeah, they really have. And then, of course, now you see so many business travelers with backpacks. I mean, either if you're a tote person or backpack, you got to have one or the other, because typically you have to have your computer, you know, your tech gear. And then when you're on the plane, you know, you have in transit work that a lot of times that you're doing, or if you don't want to do work and you have the time, you want to put some pleasure reading, you have your things right there that you need in terms of the business trip, etc. And then last, know how you're going to get from the airport to the hotel, whether it's shuttle, Uber, taxi, or pickup service. I mean, the last thing you want to do is to get into a foreign place and say, do they have a shuttle here? And then get in a taxi and you got this wild taxi ride to if they have a shuttle, take the shuttle. I mean, I know a lot of people go, oh, I don't want to go, but it is definitely the cheapest. A lot of times it's totally free, and it gets you there and it's, you know how you're going to get there, basically. So make sure you know how you're going to get to your hotel from the airport. So the more pre-planning you do before a trip, the more organized you are, I definitely think your trip will be a lot better.
You recently told a great story about experiencing a labyrinth while doing some business travel, I think in San Francisco. Do you have another example of a business trip having plenty of sightseeing?
One trip comes to mind. Several years ago, I had to go to a housing conference in Dallas. Now, as a child, I spent some time in Dallas. I had a very, very beautiful aunt who had a really fancy condo in the Turtle Creek area in Dallas. I mean, she lived large. And I always had fond memories of Dallas as a child. Well, when I got older and went back to Dallas a couple of times, I thought, oh, gosh, Dallas has really gone down. You know, maybe it was just being around her and her convertible Lincoln Continental with the TV inside. Ooh, and her poodle.
Wow.
I mean, she was like, she wasn't a movie star, but she just carried on like one in Dallas. In those times where, you know, Dallas was big, big D. But then it you know, after that period, it kind of lost its like charm. You know, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were still a big thing, and there was still some pretty big money there. Lots of great shopping, but it really didn't have that real like glamour so much for it. So when I heard we were going to Dallas, I thought, oh God, it'll just be another Texas kind of trip. So I really wasn't really super thrilled about it. I knew we'd be staying at the Fairmont downtown, which this is another thing. I mean, downtown had become dangerous and pretty decrepit, and I thought, oh God, at least the hotel will be good. And then if I want to go somewhere, like I said, I'll take Uber or whatever. So before the trip, I decided I definitely want to go to South Fork. This was one place that I had wanted to go to in the past because I used to watch Dallas on TV, JR, and, you know, all of them just carry on. And I thought I'd love to go see where they really shot this and everything. So I knew I wanted to do that. And then, oh gosh, Highland Park Village is probably one of the best places to go shopping in the United States if you like upmarket designer goods. I mean, this is like everything. And it's small, it's beautiful, the architecture there, everything is like first class. Hermes, Valentino, Chanel, Harry Winston, I mean, everything. If you just want to go and look and drool, go to Highland Park Village. So I knew I wanted to go see the latest, most expensive, coolest in things and just whiff the air there. And maybe get an ice cream cone, but or get one of their, they have some, you know, they have a couple of good restaurants in there. But, I knew that there was an art district downtown, but I didn't know too much about it. But I knew that there was, well, I knew about the Dallas Museum of Art. So I had a 3.5 days trip that I was just thought it's going to be a ho-hum trip. Well, this trip just turned into just great. I enjoyed everything about it. I was so shocked. I mean, from the time, I left very early from New Orleans. And once I got there at around 11 o'clock, I go to the hotel. The hotel is really nice. And I'm thinking, you know, I think I've stayed here before. Something was really jarring my memory. I couldn't really remember. It was probably with my husband in the late 70s or whatever. But they did a really nice job with the renovation and the updo of it. So I was hungry and decided I was going to go get a light lunch. Went in the restaurant. Oh, my God. The fish tacos were to die for. And I read a little bit about the restaurant. It's called the Pyramid Restaurant and Bar. Very highly rated. Especially it's the restaurant in the art district.
Oh.
And I didn't realize the hotel is actually right in the art district. So, you know, I thought, God, if I had to eat fish tacos every day, that'd be okay. Because they were delicious. So After that, I said, I'm heading to South Fork. So I take this Uber, and it's kind of a trek. It's almost an hour outside of downtown. Yeah, you know, Dallas is spread out.
It's big.
Yeah. So I get there. The grounds are just beautiful with the fences and everything. And, you know, you can tour the mansion, and they have a gift shop and a restaurant. Well, I sign up for the tour, and, you know, they take you through a little museum part, and that's kind of interesting. Then they take you to the house. Oh, I was so disappointed. First of all, it was a lot littler than I thought. I thought, this house is littler than mine. And they haven't changed anything, so the interiors are so dated. And they're not beautiful. And not just because they're dated, they just don't even look that good.
Yeah.
But I was so happy that I did do it, because I just got to whiff the whole thing. And I checked it off of my to-do list. Like, you know, I've wanted to go to the Great Wall of China and see the pyramids and, you know, Egypt and all that. This was kind of one of those. And I ended up buying something from the gift shop, and I took some lovely photos, because the grounds really are beautiful. And so if you're in Dallas and you want a little bit of a, you know, historic kind of thing, it's worth it. It really is worth it, especially if you get there during lunch. You can really have a nice kind of Texas lunch there. Mm. And they do a lot of activities there. There are a lot of things that go on, from, you know, big parties and hoedowns and everything. But it is a beautiful place. So I checked that off my list. Then I told Uber, take me to Highland Park. So, you know, here I was going to this shopper's paradise, and I had about 3 hours to go. But I knew it's not a real big place, and I could just wander in and out, like I said, you know, get my ice cream cone or something, you know, cup of coffee or whatever, and then head back to the hotel. Well, within 2 or 3 minutes walking around, I had this woman come up to me, and she said, oh, you have won the Shopper of the Week prize. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, we give away a prize once a week to one of our loyal customers who shop here. I said, well, I have to admit, I never shop here except when I travel down. She says, it doesn't matter. You're the winner. So she gives me this goodie bag. Oh, yes. I had this beautiful stationery, this fabulous soap, and these gourmet candies. I mean, it was in some kind of gift certificate or whatever. I thought, well, this is definitely my lucky day. I mean,
only you, Astrid. I know. This is hilarious.
I even made her take a picture of me, because I'm a blogger. After that, after she gave me all this, I said, well, let me tell you, you're lucky too, because I'm a blogger and I'm going to blog about this. So. She said, I want to tell you another secret. She said, Tory Burch is in the shopping center, and you probably can still catch her. So, and I said, well, where's Tori's shop? And she said, oh, it's over there. So I hightailed it to Tory Burch's shop. She had just left there and was going to another shop. Highland Park, the owners of it, have their own exclusive shop where they sell a lot of one-of-a-kind things that they buy from all over the world. And they do special events there. I mean, let me tell you, these things are to die for. I mean, they're just, and so when I went, they said, oh, she's over in that other shop. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but it's kind of in the corner in the back. But I went there, and lo and behold, there is Tory Burch, and she's just with her entourage and everything. So I just skillfully get going. I look at her, I said, would you take a picture of me? With me. I said, I'm a blogger, and I would really, really like. She said, of course. She was so nice. So here I was there with Tory Burch. They took a couple of pictures of us and her merchandise and what was going on there. They had like champagne. And I mean, I just got into that whole scene there. It was so much fun. So So then she was whisked away, and then all the excitement left. So I left. So I decided to keep walking, and I went into Harry Winston and kind of drooled around and looked at all. Because, you know, in Dallas, they get some big jewels in there. So I liked to at least look at them. And Chanel and Hermes. Oh, they got a... If you're into Hermes, oh, in the United States, there are a couple key shops. One of them is in Highland Village in Dallas, Texas. Gorgeous. I mean, they have every Hermes color bracelet, all the scarves, the shoes, the clothes, men, women, perfumes, the jewelry. I mean, it's really nice. But, you know, I was determined I'm not spending any money. I'm not spending any money. I'm not spending any money. That's what I told myself before I left. So I'm walking down, and I see this place called Blue Mercury. I thought, what is Blue Mercury? You know, I'm always curious about what, when I don't know something, especially in an upmarket place. So I go in there, and I'm talking to the manager. I said, what is this? She said, oh, this is a very high upmarket, like a Sephora. We only have the best of all of these different, you know, skincare and makeup and all this kind of stuff. I said, oh, really? I said, I've never seen one of those. She says, well, we'll have a few in the United States, and, you know, you can buy our things online. And they, you know, they have different brands in there. It's not just their brand. And she said, would you like a free facial? I went, oh, well,
yes.
I've had such good luck so far.
Oh, my yes. gosh.
So here I get a free facial and a free makeover. So
this is one charmed trip. My gosh. Let me Tory Burch, goodie bag. Come on.
So I did end up buying. I said, okay, well, tell me what the latest and the greatest and all of these beautiful women in Dallas buy from you. She said, there is a certain kind of nightly exfoliant that, you know, comes in this little pad-like thing with this acids or these fruit acids or whatever. She said, it is the rage. Everybody loves this. And you just whisk it over your face after you wash and cleanse your face. And it is just really good for rejuvenation and everything, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, I'll buy that. So I did buy something. Then I decided, well, I'll just go over to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee and then head back. Well, I go into Starbucks and they serve wine. They serve wine at Starbucks. And I went, what? And she said, the lady at the counter said, well, there are only a couple in the United States, and Highland Park was selected.
Oh, it must have been one of the test markets
yes.
there for that. Okay.
So I said, well.
Pour it.
Get the coffee. I'm going to see how good Starbucks wine is. So I get a cup, a glass of either Pinot or Sauvignon Blanc, and it was delicious. I had a big glass, not just one of those kind of little glasses. And I decided to get some it was some kind of flavored popcorn. It's spicy, like Tabasco in it and stuff. Oh, I just had the best time in Starbucks, you know, drinking my wine with my spicy popcorn. So then after that, I did finally call Uber and head back. And I went back and I thought, you know, that was like, I couldn't even have a more fun day. I mean, it was just like great. So the next morning I wake up, I go to the, you know, opening, introductory session with the conference and do a couple of breakouts. And then at lunch, I'm walking through the lobby and I notice across the street, I mean, Rolls Royces, Jaguars, all these cars stopping. And I'm thinking, what is going on over there? You know, in Dallas, they live big, you know, and they got some people with a lot of money. So I went outside the hotel and I asked the bellman, so what is going on over there? I mean, do they have like the president or who is over there? And he said, oh, no, they're going to have an art fair there. And I think this is their pre-gala, their pre-party gala. And I thought, oh, yeah, okay. So I had a little time. So I walked over there to see if maybe I could buy a ticket or who was invited or how you get in. And the people at the desk, they said, look, You can't come to the pre-gala, but tomorrow we're going to open. And what it is we have all of the, some of the best gallery owners in the world, and they have makeshift galleries set up in this building, because this is in the art district, and it's a particular building they can, people can rent out for various things. And it's going to be a wonderful affair. We'll have, you know, likewise, light refreshments, etc. And, you know, it's a pretty nice thing to go to if you like art. So I thought, tomorrow night after this, I'm going to the exhibition. So I end up going back in, finishing the conference activities. I think we got out about 3:30. So I thought, I'll go to the Dallas Art Museum. I know it's a very good museum. And, you know, for a couple of hours, and then I'll come back to the hotel. And then we had something that night. So I walked over there a couple blocks, and I started going through it. And, I mean, I was taken aback. This, besides the Met, the Louvre, and the Hermitage, I was totally taken aback with the amount of art, the importance of what they had in there, from Renaissance, Old Masters, Impressionist, Expressionist, Latin American art, African art, ceramics, jewelry. I was just completely overwhelmed. Then they had one section where a very wealthy woman from Dallas ended up, well, she and her husband had bought the villa that Coco Chanel owned in the south of France. And they had lived there. They had acquired a lot of very fine art. And when her husband died, she moved back to Dallas. And she decided what she wanted to do was to preserve these beautiful interiors, just how Coco Chanel had done it and how they had enjoyed her villa, because they bought all the contents and they pretty well left it exactly how she did it. She paid to recreate the inside of that villa and place all of those pieces of furniture, artwork, Coco Chanel's artifacts that they bought. It is, there's a little area on the outside that they, and I love Coco Chanel. I mean, you know, she was one of these iconic women that was just really something else when it comes to fashion and aesthetics. Well, this is such a jewel to be able to go into that. But this is what is in the Dallas Museum of Art. And then at the very end, when it was closing around 6, I mean, really, my feet were killing me. I didn't make it through everything, but I just thought, gosh, that was fabulous. So I ran into the museum shop to see if I could get a magnet. I like to collect magnets and put them on my freezer in my storage room. It's one of the things that I still collect. But so this gift shop was over the top too, in terms of art books and just stuff for your home, toys, jewelry, etc. Well, I saw this really cool scarf by, well, it was a print of Pollock's Portrait of a Dream. This scarf is so pretty. And it was like $65 or whatever. I said, that's my souvenir. No magnet. I'm getting this scarf. So I bought that scarf and I wore it that night when we went out. And it was fun that night. We had a networking thing where we went to a Mexican restaurant. I think it was called Miso Maya or something, but mariachi band, mojitos, everybody dancing, Mexican food, fun, fun, fun. I mean, it was really fun. Okay, next day I get up and I go to the conference, and then soon as it stops, I head on over at around 3:30 to the art fair, or with all those gallery owners. Oh my God, now that was a she affair. Oh, it was so interesting. I mean, they had art owners, collectors, gallery owners from all over the world, different types of art, Cuban art, Latin American art. I mean, most of it was all contemporary, sculpture, art from Europe, just really Asia, all over the world. And I mean, the crowd was just something. And I was talking to different people. I mean, people even say, well, don't I know you? And all the stuff I was going to say, no, I don't think so. But this is great, And I mean, it was just a wonderful time because, first of all, the crowd was just energized. And they were all, obviously focused on art. And I do love art. So I kind of always naturally in some kind of way, fit in with these people. But just to see all this new art and what's current and how much it's valuable and what they're paying for it and everything, I mean, that in itself was very educational to me. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, if I wouldn't have taken the time to go across the street to do this, I would have missed this whole wonderful thing. So that's another thing that I did on this boring ho-hum trip that I thought I was going to Dallas. That was a has-been city. That's really what I was thinking. Oh, that Dallas is like, it was kind of, it had its day, Then at the third day, the conference cut off at, I think it was about noon or 1 o'clock. So I ran on over to the Nasher Sculpture Center, which they have Picasso and Rodin. I mean, they have sculpture by all these classical sculpture artists as well as contemporary. This building is gorgeous. The grounds are gorgeous. They have some very huge Calder outdoor pieces of sculpture. The fountains. This building and then the pieces of sculpture in it is just so gorgeous and elegant. It's just so well done. I was so happy I took the time to do that. I mean, I can't describe it. It just made me love art even more and just be committed. Every time that I travel anywhere, take the time to go to one of the museums. You learn so much, really, just by walking through and seeing it and reading a little bit about it. Not even a deep dive, but you start to begin to connect dots, see different things, etc. Then the last day, I turned in early because, I mean, I had been blowing it. And so the next day, it was my travel day, but I decided to leave later. So I had really the morning till about 1:30, 2 o'clock before I had to head out to the airport. Well, every Sunday there are big food trucks that come to this big park in Dallas, and there's entertainment. And it is the cool thing to do. Well, I decided I'm going to the park and go where everybody's doing it. And it was so much fun. They had these fabulous gourmet food trucks. One of them where I ate was a lobster roll that has been the number one food truck lobster roll in the country. They've been on CNN, every, network. I mean, these two guys have just got a reputation that is just, everybody wants to eat one of their. And let me tell you, it was delicious. And I had some kind of limeade, fresh limeade drink. I mean, I just thought, oh, God, it can't get any better than this. It was a beautiful day, the music, and I was just people watching. And I thought, Dallas is cool. Oh, I forgot to tell you two other things that I did on day three after those two. I did end up going. I had enough time to go to the first Neiman Marcus is downtown. The first one where Stanley Marcus, and it's still there. Now, it's not the thriving like all the others all over the country, but it has got a lot of soul. I mean, it's like it's still there. And I went all the way to the top floor where the corporate offices, where his office was and everything. There's a lot of nostalgia in there. But also around that, they've got some new boutiques that are around. So Daedalus is really doing a really good job with recreating their urban downtown, the urban core, to work, play, and live. I mean, it is really nice. In fact, I thought, you know, I might actually move here. This is, I mean, that's how, because they had a great art scene. They were really getting with it with the restaurants, you know, all of these different boutiques. And I thought, you know, this is not too bad. This is really, you know, I'm getting older. And, you know, I really, I was just blown away, to tell you the truth. So you asked me about one trip that I went that I combined business with leisure. This is one, but this is an example of how you can take a trip that really, well, you know, you have to go there or whatever, and you might not even think the conference is going to be that good. Well, don't, you know, just figure out what are some of the other things to do. And a lot of times, just by getting out and doing things, I mean, certain things happen. You end up meeting somebody else or whatever, you know. So that's one example of one of my trips.
Yeah.
Now, I have got a lot of stories. That's probably,
oh, we know.
That's probably why now I have my own podcast.
Yes, ma'am, indeed. Okay, so you already warned us that we got to keep our focus on business, because that's why we're traveling. And you always have really good tips for us. What tips do you have for us to keep our focus and make sure the business side of even if we're leisuring, how do we make sure that our business doesn't suffer?
Okay, well, you stole my first point.
Oh, sorry.
Focus your trip. The focus of your trip is business. Don't slight the business side. You know, your business goals are really the reason why you're going on the trip. So, I mean, you focus on that. Before you leave, you know, I've got to do this, this, and this, and I've got to get that contract signed. You have got to spend the time, whether it's already organized or not, to get that done. So don't let any of these other things, fun things, shopping in Highland Park or whatever, Dallas Art Museum. Don't, I mean, that's out of the question until you get the job done. So really stay focused on business, because if you don't do that and it's a failed trip, you might not have a job. In the end, if you do too much leisure. Okay, so next is, don't try to cram too many leisure activities in your free hours. This is a hard one for me, because I like to go, go, go. And if things are happening, I mean, I'll keep going till they quit. But it's not really smart. I mean, I had a conference, so this is not, you know, as intense as getting contracts signed or doing, you know, say, going into court, legal, or anything like that. I mean, you know, when it's real serious, I mean, maybe some of you only have like an hour or two to do something fun, and you really shouldn't do anything more. So don't cram too much into it, because really you don't want the business side to suffer in any kind of way. And a lot of times, if you're doing too much, or you don't prioritize one or too many things, you get exhausted. And once you get exhausted, well, then a lot of times things start to fall out, and you let it slide. So another thing is, if like you've been traveling a lot and do really feel exhausted, maybe your whole leisure aspect of it find a spa, or if there's a spa in the hotel, do some massage, you know, facial, pamper yourself, sleep, veg. I mean, that's good too, you know. I mean, you're getting most of all of your expenses paid, so take advantage of this me time. Another thing, don't overeat and drink. I'm telling you, this, you know, I know that this is easy to say, or you don't even think about it, but let me tell you, after a couple of business trips on the road and you keep doing it, I mean, your eating is always out of sorts, because you're in a different time zone a lot of times. The food is different. You order something you don't like, then you want something else to eat in a couple of hours, or you overeat and overdrink one night, and then it piles up. And then I can tell you, it starts to affect every aspect of your trip, in the business part of it and the leisure. So think about it. Try to eat a good breakfast. And, you know, me, I love coffee, so I got to find that Starbucks or a good cup of coffee. Typically a good breakfast. Maybe a light lunch. And then a glass of wine and a balanced dinner. You know, not too much, not too little. Or if you had a heavy lunch, I mean, maybe just a glass of wine as a snack. Or it's, you know, something, tea and a salad at night. Try not to overeat when you travel or drink. Try to actually pull back. You'll feel much better, I'm telling you, than even eating as much as you normally do. And a lot of times when people travel, they just want to eat, because that is a lot of things that people do. Okay, so be mindful of that. If you can add a day or two on your trip, if there's lots of things that you want to do, yeah, you have to pre-plan that. You have to do that. And most employers, they don't care about that. If, you know, you either have vacation days or you could make it happen by making up, you know, your hours or whatever. And, you know, just have them do the tickets accordingly. So, you know, sometimes you just need a couple of days to just, like I said, veg out. Not even do anything. Just hang at the spa or go to a spa or just walk around, you know, just really kind of do nothing but just detach for just a couple of days. This is a very good cost-effective way to do it if, you know, you can tackle in a couple of days. Practice good time management. I mean, I know this sounds kind of elementary, but really, when you are traveling, there's so many things that can go wrong or things that you can't anticipate because you don't live there. How long will it really take you to go to the airport? I mean, I recently was in Dublin, and I almost missed my flight because I thought, well, it cannot take more than 2 hours to get there. Well, it took me 3.5 hours. I mean, I ran to the desk, pleaded with the woman, can't you get my suitcase on? I need you to check it all the way to New Orleans. I mean, it was like, I mean, I made it, but I made it by the grace of God. I really did. So, you know, you got to always allow really more time than you think. And, you know, just bring something that you can read or whatever. I know my point is I hate to sit in airports and get anywhere too early. I don't mind getting there when I'm supposed to, but to be there early, oh, that's to me a waste of time. Well, let me tell you something. When you travel now in a lot of different places, you need to think like that, because I can tell you, you'll miss a flight or you'll miss a meeting, and that can be absolutely really bad. So time management is very important when you're traveling, and especially with business travel. So think like that. You know, don't just say, well, I think it's 2 hours. Go leave 2.5 hours. Just give yourself a little grace. And I've touched on this a little bit, and this is another just common sense, but keep your business and leisure expenditures and receipts separate. You know, I always do like 2 envelopes.
I do too. That's funny. I was just going to say I do exactly that.
I mean, very simple, 2 envelopes. So I know this. Then when I have to do my expense report, I take everything out of that. My other ones I keep in the receipts. I know that, I can't charge off these or put this on my, you know, when I do my taxes. So I really do have my own little simple system, but it's really important that you do that. And, you know, the trip is so cheap anyway compared to other trips, because you get everything paid for except, you know, really your leisure.
All the massages that we have in our personal envelope.
Yeah, yes. Okay, and then when you can't use those airport lounges, I know most business travelers or a lot of them have the Platinum American Express, and that can get you into the lounges when you're not traveling with a business class ticket in a lot of places. So use those. You know, if you get to the airport early, you don't want to just sit there and wait at the gate or whatever, you know, and there's nothing to do, go in the lounges. They're much nicer. A lot of times they have some free food that's pretty good or whatever. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's nicer than, you know, if you're just sitting out in the big general areas. Also, here again, you know, get one or two credit cards where you can build up the points. Some employers don't let you do that on your personal card, so you have to, it depends on where you work. Some companies give you a business credit card and you have to only do it on that, and those points the whole company has and blah blah blah. But if you can use it and do your business expenses, just make sure you clear it with your CPA and how you do your taxes and everything. But it is a one way to build up points if you can do it with however, you know, your system works and you're supposed to do it, that you can take some trips later on. Most importantly, and this is really basically the end of our show today, is don't hole yourself up in a hotel room unless you don't feel well or you really need to sleep. You know, a lot of people, when they first start traveling solo with business trips, women, they think, well, do I really want to go do anything? I mean, I'll just get room service and watch TV. Please don't do that. I mean, there is an exciting world out there. And I tell you, the more you venture out and you do it in a smart way, you're going to gain so much from doing these things. Fun things are going to materialize. You're going to learn things. You're going to eat at places you've never eaten before. I mean, just start. Get out. Explore. Walk around. People watch. I mean, sometimes I there's only a few things I want to do, so I'll just sit out in the cafe and just watch. And I love to do that. I just think, life is just, this is so cool. I'm just having such a good time just relaxing. And, you know, I know that sounds maybe boring to some, but, you know, it's a lot better than sitting up in your room watching TV. So, you know, do a few of them. I can tell you, you'll be happy once you've done them that you took the time to do it. So, strive to transform every business trip you can into now what we call a bleisure trip. If you want some really good ideas for basically affordable luxury travel products or services, I have a wonderful website that I continue to develop, and it's been up for a little over a year and a half now, called Astrid Solo Travel Advisor. Very easy to Google, astridtravel.com. I think I've got a lot of really good ideas that will help you travel, whether it's, you know, business, leisure, bleisure, etc. So, you know, I encourage you to do that. Also, I am on social media, so if you just type in Astrid Travel, I'm gonna come up somewhere, whether it's podcasts or videos or vlogs, websites. I'm gonna do a marketplace. I hope to launch it next week, so I'm really excited about the products. We're gonna do a whole podcast on that. But thank you so much for tuning in, and you know, thank you for subscribing.
Whether you are business traveling, leisure traveling, or bleisure traveling, you're still going to need to pack. And to solve that stressful problem, Astrid has an amazing complimentary packing list that you can get from her website, astridtravel.com. Just go to the front page there, download the packing list right away. It's going to help you take the stress out of packing. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all of the finer places that podcasts can be found. We love when you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. It really helps the show, and it helps other solo travelers, these business travelers that we're trying to turn into bleisure travelers. It helps them find this great information. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.